Thank you, folks. Always such a blessing. And Brother Brian is a great preacher and blessed our hearts Sunday night. And we're going to ask him to come and bring the message to us tonight. Amen. Brother McBride.
All right. The book of Job, please, if you'll turn over there. The book of Job. And we'll spend just a few moments here. And I want to read Job chapter 38 and verse number 1. I want to thank you for being here tonight on this Wednesday night. I want to thank the church for allowing us to stay over in the village. We've been enjoying that and appreciate the preacher. It's always good to be around Dr. Carter. He's one of my heroes in the faith. And I thank the Lord for him. And he's always a blessing and encouragement. Then it's kind of like coming home when we come down here to Landmark. And so I want to thank you for allowing us to be here. I have a little cough. I didn't catch it from the preacher. I had it before I got here. But I've got a little cough, so if I do have to cough, I'll try and step aside. I was preaching one place, and I had a cough, and the sound man said, now what my pastor does, he said when he's getting ready to cough, he'll reach up and touch the microphone, and I'll turn it down, and he'll cough, and then turn it back up. So he said, you do that. Well, if you've seen me preach, I was never in reach of the pulpit or the microphone while I was preaching, so it didn't work very good. But I'm going to try and stay here and have a little dignity tonight, okay? Job chapter 38 and verse 1, the Bible says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. I want to preach a little bit on this subject tonight. Then the Lord answered Job. Now, there are a lot of things that went on earlier in this chapter or in this book that I think most of us are familiar with. How the Lord came, the Lord was there, and Satan came and stood before the Lord and had a conversation with the Lord. And the Lord said, hast thou considered my servant Job? That he's upright, he fears God, he escheweth evil. And the devil said, doth Job serve God for naught? And you remember that God moved the hedge and allowed the devil to work in Job's life. And Job lost about everything he had. Finally, even until his wife said to him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. And then for 37 chapters, Job has some friends show up. They sit around for a little while and look at him, and it had been better if they'd have just looked at him and not said anything. But then they opened their mouths and began to accuse Job of being a hypocrite. And then Elihu showed up, and he told Job some things, and I'll talk to you about them in a moment. But for 37 chapters, Job never hears from God. And then the Bible says, then the Lord answered Job. Have you ever noticed in life sometimes how hard it is to get an answer? And somehow we feel like when we go through a trial or a difficulty, if we had an answer as to why, then we could handle it better. If we could say, well, I'm suffering because of this, or I faced it because of this. I know people who have gone through suffering and they've spent years after the tragedy looking for an answer, going about trying to say, well, maybe it was because of this or maybe it was because of that. But sometimes it's hard to get an answer in life. I was in a meeting over in, up north a little ways, and we were in a tent. Now, here's one of the mysteries of life. We were next to a $3.1 million auditorium meeting in a tent. That's a mystery to me. And we had the instruments, and so I didn't want to leave them out in the tent because the change in atmosphere and temperature is bad for the instruments, and the teenagers were spending the night in the tent, and I knew that would be bad for the instruments. And so we took the tents in the church, or the instruments in the church. And so one night I came and I was getting them out of the auditorium. I'm going to get them, take them out, tune them up, get ready to go. So I was, excuse me, a little early, and I came in and I walked in the auditorium, and a little girl, maybe about that tall, had my guitar case open and was getting my guitar out. Now my Martin D35, I've had it for I think 40 years. It's almost like more like a part of the family than it is an instrument. And I didn't want her getting it out, but I didn't want to scare her either. And so I didn't know exactly what to do. And so in the softest voice as I could say, I said, honey, that's not a good idea. And when she heard me, she slammed the top of that case down. My heart jumped up into my throat.
The guitar was laying flat, didn't hurt it at all. And she stood there looking at me. And I said to her, "What's your name?" And she thought about that a moment. And then she said, "I don't remember my name." I said, "You don't remember your name?" She said, "Isn't that funny? I can't remember my name." Well, you know why she didn't want to tell me her name. She didn't want me telling somebody else what her name was. It was hard to get an answer. And that's a comical illustration of it, but there is no comedy involved, and there's nothing comical about it when you're looking in the face of a loved one in a coffin and you want to know why. Or you've just heard the doctor say, "There's no hope," and you want to know why. Or you've just lost someone very dear to you or something, and you want to know why. And sometimes there is no answer. Job wanted an answer. He said in one place, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him," talking about God. And he said, "If I could find him, I would order my cause before him." He said, "If I could find him, I'd tell him why this isn't right." Job's been looking for an answer. He is finally going to get an answer in Job 38, but I don't think it's the answer he's looking for. It's the answer he needs, but it's not the one he's looking for. I want to give you three thoughts about this answer that Job gets here in chapter 38. And I want you to notice, first of all, the moment of this answer, the timing of it. The Bible says, "Then." So that tells me that there is time involved. There's a timeline. Then. When did this answer come? It came after the extending of Satan's power in Job's life. When you read chapter 1, people will say sometimes, "Preacher, I don't like the idea that God would give the devil permission to attack Job. I don't like it either, but I do like this. I like the fact that the devil had to get permission from God to attack Job. I like that part of it. I'm glad the devil just can't do whatever he feels like doing, whatever he wants to do it, whenever or wherever. I'm glad he can't do that. I'm glad God is still on the throne, aren't you? I'm glad there is a hedge, and I'm glad God is still taking care of his children. I'm glad the psalmist said that the angels of God are camped round about his people, and I'm glad about that tonight." But the Lord did allow Satan to have power in Job's life. There, it came after the exception or the exhausting, we could say, of Job's resources. There is his wife. When she sees what's going on with Job, she says, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." And we would look at her, and a lot of people would attack her, and we'd say, "Well, you know, she must not have been a godly woman." But it's hard for me to imagine that a godly man like Job would marry a woman that wasn't godly. It's hard for me to imagine that somebody upright, feared God, eschewed evil, would marry a woman who had no regard for God. Here's what I think happened. I think she just came to the end of her rope. I think she got to a place that you and I might get sometime, when we just don't know what to do next. We don't know what to say next. We don't know what to think next. You say, "Preacher, I've never been there." Well, hang on. You might be there before too long. I'm not condoning what she said. I'm not complimenting her for it. I'm just saying, I think maybe I understand where it came from. It came from the despair and the trouble that she was in. And then those three friends, they should have been a resource to Job. They should have helped him. They would have helped him probably more if they hadn't said anything. I have a lot of times tried to say things to people just because I felt like I ought to say something. And I would have been better off to have been quiet and just listen. I remember one time I had a fella, I've probably told you about this, I don't have so many life experiences, so I had a fella come to me one time, had a problem while I was pastoring, and he sat down in the living room and he started going through his problem, and I sat there and listened to him, and I went, mm-mm-mm. And after a little while, he went on, and I said, "My, oh my." And he went on a little while longer, and I thought, "What about that?" And then he went on a little longer, and I went, mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. And he went on a little longer, and I went, "My, oh my, oh my." And he went on a little longer, 3 hours. And I went, "What about that?" And we got done, and he looked at me, and he said, "Oh, thank you, Pastor. You've been such a help. That's just what I needed to hear." All he heard was, mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. "My, oh my, oh my, and what about that?" Sometimes it'd be better just to be there and listen and not talk. But these fellows decided they had to talk, and so they began to tell Job what his problem was, and they approached it from different angles, but all of them had the same idea. Job, you're a sinner. You're a hypocrite. You've got some secret sin, and if you didn't have secret sin, you wouldn't be suffering. You know, that's human nature to look at somebody suffering and say, well, something's going on there. But I sure don't want somebody looking at me like that when I'm suffering. I would like for them to think maybe this is a trial. And Elihu comes, and Elihu begins to talk to Job, and he's the preacher man, I believe. And Job does not answer him. Now, Job answers those other three fellas, and it's interesting because if you'll study it out, he talks to them twice as much as they talk to him. He tells them, I believe when I counted them up, twice as many things he says as they said. So when Elihu comes, Elihu says to Job, in effect, he said, Job, your problem is not that you're a secret sinner and you've got sin in the past. Your problem is your attitude's not right in the present. And Job doesn't seem to argue with Elihu. Job has an attitude problem in the midst of this trial, not something that happened before, but in the midst of it. And so Elihu preaches a little while and exhorts Job. And then we get to chapter 38, and finally God is going to speak. And I want you to notice the mystery of this answer, because it's not the answer you'd expect. It's not the answer I think Job was looking for. The Bible said, then the Lord answered Job. Now, wouldn't it be good if the Bible read like this? Then the Lord answered Job and said, Job, I'll tell you what happened. I was in heaven and Satan came, and Satan said to me, or I said to Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan said to me, from going to and fro in all the earth. And I said, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, that he's perfect and upright, and escheweth evil? And the devil said to me, does Job serve God? Wouldn't it be good if God had just explained it? But he didn't. And you know, I don't know who wrote the book of Job, but it may be that Job never did find out about this conversation. He may have spent his whole life never knowing what you and I know about why this happened. There is no answer of explanation. So I said, well, if God would just explain this to me. God doesn't often do that. I want you to notice something. And I wouldn't go get an argument with anybody about this, but a lot of people would suggest that in chapter 38, Job is addressing the three friends, but it doesn't look like that to me. In fact, the Bible said, then the Lord answered who? Job. Out of the whirlwind and said, talking to Job now, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Now you think about that question. Job, who are you to ask me? Who are you to say this isn't right? Who are you, Job, to stand up and as it were, put your finger in my face and say, I shouldn't go through this? Who are you, Job? God does not explain. There's no explanation at all. There's no expectation in this answer. That's what he means, preacher. God doesn't put his arm around Job and say, hang in there, buddy, it's going to get better. That's what I like to do when people are suffering. I say, now, you know, things are going to get better. They always tell you in counseling, and I've never been very good at it, but they always tell you, leave the counselee with hope. Give them hope. And there is hope with the Lord. Amen. Not false hope, but real hope. Amen. But Job, God doesn't say that to Job. He doesn't come and say, okay, Job, here's my answer. Just hang in there, buddy. In a little while, it's going to be better than it ever was. I'm going to bless you twice as much. Just hang in there. There's none of that in this passage. There's no explanation. There's no expectation. I like to put it this way. There's no exclamation. Look like God would say, boy, this hurts me too, Job. I feel bad for you, Job. That's what we do, isn't it? Put our arm around somebody and say, you know, I'm hurting with you. I feel like you feel. And I know the Bible says this about God. It said he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So I know he is touched. I know his heartstrings are plucked when mine are plucked. The Bible said it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a faithful and a merciful high priest. I know that it is like that with God, that he's a God of compassion and tender care. But there's none of that here. So what is there here? Here's the thing. I call it the mercy of this answer.
You say, preacher, you forgot about the answer. No, I haven't forgotten. We're there. Look at it in chapter 38. We can't read it all. There's too much of it, but we'll get the gist of it. Verse 2, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Verse 4, where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? And declare, if thou hast understanding, who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garments thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. Here shall thy proud waves be. Verse 12, hast thou? Verse 16, hast thou? Verse 18, hast thou? Verse 21, knowest thou? Verse 22, hast thou? Verse 31, canst thou? Verse 32, canst thou? Verse 33, knowest thou? Verse 34, canst thou? Verse 35, canst thou? Verse 39, wilt thou? And on, God says to Job, Job, were you there? Job, can you do this? Job, do you know this? And what he's saying is, Job, I was there. And Job, I do know this. And Job, I can do this. You can't, but I can. You know what God is doing? God is saying, Job, you've been looking here for an answer. You've been looking there for an answer. He's saying, I am your answer. You don't need an explanation. You just need me. You see, that's the truth. He is our answer. We don't need to know why he does what he does. He does what he does because he's God. And he's always right. And I call it the mercy of this answer, because anything that comes in my life that takes my focus off me and makes me put my focus upon God is good for me. Amen. And it's mercy. You say, well, I think God will explain it to me. Let me ask you a question. Do you have children? Have you ever explained things to them? Do you notice with children, one answer leads to another question? You give them the answer and they want to know why. Why is that the right answer? And you give them that answer and they've got another question. You know why that is? It's because you're an adult and they're children. It's because your thinking is up here and their thinking is down here. It's because your understanding is so much higher than their understanding. So when they ask a question, a lot of time, they can't even understand the answer. How much higher is God's thinking than ours? And we're going to demand an answer from him when we couldn't understand it if he gave us the answer. All it would do is lead to another question and another question and another question. So sometimes you say to your children, because I said so. Because you know better than they know. Right. And you don't say that to them because a lady got after us one time because we said that to one of our children. But you don't say that because you don't love your children. Right. You don't say that because you're harsh or hard or you don't care. You say that because you know they're not going to understand and they need to trust you. Right. And so God would say, Job, who are you to ask me? And where were you when I made the world? And what do you know about this? And what do you know about that? And what do you know about that? And Job, I know about all this. Job, I am your answer. Amen. And he is our answer. Amen. And every time we go through the trial and face the difficulties, we need to remember that Job is never told why. Because Job is not meant to know why. Job is meant to know God. And so the why turns him to God. And when he turns to God, that's the best thing for him. Job will end up saying, I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And that's where God wants us. He's saying, Job, I am your answer. Let's bow our heads a moment. Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. And we thank you that you always do right. And Lord, I pray you help us to always look to thee. You are our answer tonight to every question of life, every trouble, every difficulty. We love you. Thank you for loving us. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight would say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? Because I'm in the midst of trouble right now. And I've been just hoping God would give me an answer." Why don't you come tonight and bow the knee and say, "Lord, I want to trust you. Will you help me? I want to look to you." And I believe God will help you. And he'll be enough for you. I can say from personal experience that God has always been enough. I saw one hands or somebody else say, "Will you pray for me, preacher?" I see those hands there and there and there and there. Why don't you come and just do what the song said tonight? Bow the knee. Just bow the knee. Tell him, "Lord, I'm going to trust you, believe you, you're enough." Maybe there'd be somebody here tonight say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I wish you'd remember me when you pray. I don't know the Lord. I'd like to know him. Would you pray for me?" Is there anybody like that? You'd lift your hand and let me see it. Anybody anywhere? Now, Father, help us.